New Zealand's first home to be constructed with 3D printed materials is nearly complete. Not only does Huia House take advantage of the design opportunities of 3D technology, it uses it to create a passive solar home. With us now is architect Duncan Firth from Solare and architecture and intrepid homeowner Stephen Bell. Good morning, or is it good evening to both of you, Duncan and Steve? Hello.
G'day, Susanna. Hi. It's just gone 3 p.m. here, so it's in the afternoon.
And where are you, Duncan?
I'm in Bangkok, and of all places, and I kind of work between New Zealand and Southeast Asia, and the Huia project is one of my current projects underway down in New Zealand.
Very good. And Steve, where are you?
I'm living in Huia, just up the road from where we're building the house. And we haven't actually, Duncan and I haven't actually met in person. We've done the whole design process over Zoom.
I feel like I know you so well, Steve.
And Steve, absolutely. Just to position Huia, are we referring to Huia in West Auckland?
Yes, yeah, out in the Waitakere. So, yeah, so a really nice little place to be.
Definitely a nice place to be. So that our listeners can imagine it, could both of you actually, in taking turns, obviously, not simultaneously, describe Huia House for us?
Sure. Oh, maybe I'll take the first. Maybe I'll go first, Steve.
Yeah.
So Huia House is located on in Huia Bay on the Manukau Harbour. And it's designed as an environmental house. So it stretches east to west for maximise sun path. And it's a little bit different to, I guess, traditional houses because it has two orientations. And the view is towards the south, which is beautiful Manukau Harbour. And then the sun is to the north. So what we had to do is design a house that would, you know, basically maximize your northern sunlight exposure for passive solar gain and then take full advantage of the southern views of Manukau Harbour. And because the house is a passive solar house, you know, it relies on thermal mass and concrete to take full advantage of that radiant energy from the sun. So it has insulated concrete floors, which are able to absorb that radiant energy. And then as a secondary passive solar device, we have these thermal mass walls. So the thermal mass walls, which we ended up 3D printing, are designed to, you know, essentially face due north and while opening up to the southern views of the house. Steve, maybe you want to...
Yeah, so look, one of the things when Jenny and I, my wife is Jenny, when we're talking to Duncan, when we're sort of going through original concepts, was to that, you know, we'd love to have a house where we can see the view from pretty much every room. And, you know, from our bedroom, we want to be able to sit up in the bed in the morning, pull the curtains back and see the bay, you know. And the design Duncan's come up with is really good for that. Sort of everything focuses the view that way, yet we have the nice warm sunny side on the north. So yeah, lots of options depending on where the weather's coming from.
Indeed, where the weather is coming from. But let's stay with the house. What parts of the house have been built with a 3D printer? Maybe that's you, Duncan, can answer that.
Sure. So yeah, so one of the interesting things about the project is, you know, it is a bespoke architectural house. So, you know, the 3D walls they're quite tricky in the sense that they curve. So there's quite a complexity to them. And initially, what we designed was a house that where you kind of these internal concrete walls would be made out of block work. And, you know, they would essentially kind of curve, you know, with sunlight and the views of the house. And, you know, with block work, it's I've done curved concrete walls before out of block work. And, you know, we can do it, but there are kind of, you know, complexities with it. And, And Steve, being an avid kind of believer and lover of technology, kind of came across Curox, who are the 3D printing contractor, and I think that kind of captured Steve's imagination, and from my point of view, I was a little bit relieved, because I kind of knew as soon as the 3D printing came on board that the constructibilities of these walls and these reasonably kind of complex curving shapes, we would be able to achieve. We still could do it with block work, but there's always issues with tradies and I guess defective kind of blocks. But what the 3D printing aspect kind of presented was that, it was essentially guaranteed that we could get these walls to curve. And then, as well as, there was this whole other kind of avenue and, textures, and, we could print three-dimensional patterns on the wall.
Steve, what drew you to the new technology?
Yeah, so I'd been looking online at technology things, and, the 3D printing was always something that, I'd have a look through from time to time. And, it seems like a great way to do things, and sort of a pretty logical way to do things, just like 3D printing is used for plastic and, prototyping things and doing building all sorts of things. It seems like something that, had to happen eventually for building houses and parts of houses. And, I was looking online and got very surprised to see that there was a company in New Zealand actually doing some 3D printing, and some video turned up in one of my news feeds to showing them the building something in public and doing that and showing it off. And I was even more surprised to find that they were in Hamilton, and which is where I was living at the time. And so pretty much that was, so I saw that on a Saturday morning, and on Monday morning I grabbed the plans that were finished and ready for building, and took them down to Curox and saw Wafei there, who's the owner, and showed him the plans and sort of had a look at the samples of what they had in the room there, and sort of said, would he be interested, and could he start early next year? That would be early in 2022. So yeah, had a good chat to him, and I think Wafei got reasonably excited about the concept and the idea, and we sort of talked a bit more, and I guess we also talked about the fact that they hadn't done a project that big before, and in fact that he didn't believe anything in the southern, anything that big had been done in the southern hemisphere yet. So we realized it was all pretty new stuff.
And had you had a Zoom with Dunkard before you headed down to Hamilton, or did you just think, let me talk to them first before I talk to the architect? How did that bit work?
Yeah, no, I did talk to them first before I talked to Duncan, and soon after I got on the call with Duncan just to see what he felt about the idea.
And what did you think, Duncan? Did you fall off your chair there in Thailand?
Well, I kind of did, and I was quite taken back, and I was quite surprised, and then it started to make more sense as there was more of a discussion between myself and Curox, and to understand what they could do, and then the opportunity that it presented, and I always knew that. With this type of project, the Achilles heel is actually the spine wall that we were building. Whether or not it was going to be block work or 3D printed. So I was happy because I knew that these radiuses that we have in the design, and how these walls curve, I knew that they were going to come to fruition. And I thought that the 3D printing, offered this great opportunity to solve this quite complex architectural problem for the curving walls, and that we'd end up with something quite interesting and unique. So, I mean, hats off to Steve, for committing to this, and well, for committing to the design in the first place, and then secondarily, committing to these 3D printed walls.
I've got lots of questions. Let's start with the curves. Are the curves just a design feature, or is there some aspect to them that mean that they're there?
Go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Look, I think they are design features, and they're just pleasing to look at, and having a curved wall is just really challenging in a house, and in some ways, 3D printing is absolutely the easiest way to do that.
And Duncan, did the 3D technology open up new design possibilities for you as the architect?
Absolutely. So, it's, I'm in discussion with, a potential new project and the clients saw this project and the 3D printing technology behind it. And as well as, they like the ideas, how we can, get these walls and thermal mass to naturally heat the house as well. This is first generation, I think, in New Zealand for this type of technology. And I think, there's a pretty, big canvas to kind of fill, for the potential of, what we can do with it. And, whether or not one day, we'll end up in a situation where, the guys can just get 3D printers on site and actually print the house from, start to finish. I mean, that might be somewhere down the line. But I think, generation one, I suppose, I think it's really exciting. And I think the result is what has been kind of constructed on site. And it seems to have kind of captured everyone's imagination. And most importantly, Steve and Jenny, are happy with it.
Well, happy clients is always a good thing, isn't it? But let's talk about climate resilience, because, we've been hammered by really significant weather, and the Waitakere's did not avoid that at all. In fact, we got really hammered out there. I live out that way myself. We got hammered before Cyclone Gabrielle came through, and then Cyclone Gabrielle came through and continues the lashing. How do the materials hold up? Who wants to go, Steve or Duncan? Steve, you go first.
Yeah. Look, the actual 3D printed concrete is as Duncan was describing, it's in the middle of the house. It runs down the spine of the house. So it's once we're all covered in now, it's not going to get any more weathering. And it's just a normal cladding on the outside of the house, which is going to be steel. That's not a problem, all good. And it's from a weather point of view, it is that whole warming of the walls in summer and keeping a very constant temperature around the year. And the other one that Duncan's designed in there is for summer when it's really hot, the way the air will flow through the house and cool it down naturally, which is another cool technique that he uses, which maybe you can talk about, Duncan.
Go ahead, Duncan.
Climate resilience is obviously top of everyone's mind at the moment. I do have some pretty distinct thoughts on this. What it is designing buildings which engage with the environment and climate. And at the moment, I think we're kind of, as a society, we're kind of obsessed with technology. And our architecture, our buildings are essentially designed to resist the environment. And in saying that, there's lots of clever designs that are produced, but what happens is, we rely on technology, to solve heating and cooling problems, and then, complex cladding systems to solve weatherproofing issues. So, I think the thing with, Huia House is that, it is primarily designed to engage with the environment, and that's, through correct, orientation, decisional sun path. The way that natural sunlight comes into the building and will passively heat the building. So, you know, once it's built, I mean, that house, it's designed so that, you know, during midwinter, the internal temperatures will range, you know, on average, you know, we're aiming for between 20 to 22 degrees, you know, passively. And then the way that, you know, your overhangs work. So, you know, the way that the roof works is, you know, it's designed to protect the facade from the sun and, you know, from extreme kind of rainfall, you know, that will kind of, you know, potentially hit the house. And as well as, you know, protecting, you know, keeping it cool in summer, you know, allowing, you know, optimal amounts of kind of, you know, natural airflow to kind of move through the house. So that the house is designed so that, you know, opens up for cross ventilation and stack effect. So stack effect, you know, relies on hot air rising. And, you know, as air kind of moves into the house, it heats up during summer. And then the way that we've designed it is so that, you know, we have, you know, top light windows located strategically through the house, which basically act as a natural exhausting system. And, you know, allows air to kind of, you know, move through the house and cool it down. So, you know, that the idea is that, you know, the house engages with its, you know, physical surroundings. And you know, I think, you know, moving forward with regards to climate resilience, you know, I think, I mean, there's definitely a lot out there and a lot of, you know, amazing stuff being built, you know, environmentally. But I think it's, you know, it's really designed, you know, really designing stuff and architecture that, you know, that really integrates with the environment and, you know, and connects with it rather than resisting it.
Indeed. Now, how about cost? How competitive is the 3D printed walls? Are they compared with a traditional build?
So the design was around concrete blocks, and you know, at the point when I went and talked to Wafei, we had the estimate from the block layer for the building of it, and we came to an agreement of a price which was equivalent of that. So it, you know, it was there was lots of unknowns for them and for us and things like that. So you know, and with the risks of being first at something, so we agreed a sort of a fixed price, and it was pretty much equivalent to to what a concrete blocks system would have been.
Mm.
Any challenges with the new technology? Things that you weren't expecting?
Look, I'll leave that one. Look, I think
I'll leave that to you, Steve.
and there's quite a few challenges, and you know, when you work in sort of technology areas and you're trying to get something brand new that hasn't been done by you or your company before, or you know, in the case of this, by very many people before, then there's likely to be many things to learn. And, you know, there were some of those, and there was some things where the panels were printed in Hamilton and put on a truck, and the first set of panels didn't get past Taupuri before they cracked. So there's even that. So there's lots of things to learn, and but you know, I think it's been very good for Clorox to have the opportunity to build something that size to you know, do all those learnings and you know, solve all those problems. So yes. So it took a bit longer than what we planned. You know, some of the other challenges were around you know, like the building consent process and making a change from something that they work with every day, which is concrete blocks, to something that they hadn't seen before. And even though that there was a Brands, which is you know, building testing people that test building technologies, even though the 3D printing had gone through that and being declared sort of equivalent, there was still sort of a risk aversion, I guess, amongst the building consent people because they'd never seen it before. So yeah, there was a few extra engineers had to get involved to review it and get a report for them. So yeah, lots of little things like that that took a bit more time and things like that. So yeah.
So when are you moving in, Steve?
It should be late May, early June. It's still quite a bit. We're just waiting on our window joinery to turn up now, and you know, so yeah, so we've got a wee while to go, and
it's been a long process,
really looking forward
Steve.
To moving in.
It's been a long building process to get here.
With yes, it has.
With COVID, I mean, how long we've been holding it now? It's been at least, well, this is probably the second year that we're on. It's it's which was quite a surprise to all of us. But you know, I think we're almost there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, both of you, for taking the time and also just demonstrating how you've been able to collaborate without having met in person. We really appreciate talking with you both tonight. Thank you, Duncan Firth from Solare, sitting in Thailand, and Steve Bell here in Auckland.
Thanks
you both. All the best.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye.